We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
So you know that Tuesday night is the beginning of it all. The reason why we're even here to eat pancakes. And it's Fat Tuesday. In fact, I grew up Fat Tuesday. It was like my favorite day of the year, because Fat Tuesday in the Catholic Italian tradition is everything you couldn't eat during Lent was put on the table. You just ate, right? And you just ate. It was beautiful. It was like a holy moment. Because then the rest of Lent you can't have anything. But so we're doing this Fat Tuesday thing. But more importantly, not only will there be pancakes, not only will there be Curtis playing piano, we're going to begin the study on Leviticus with an introduction to the study. And I can see the excitement on your faces already. Wow, bowl me over. I mean, but here's the deal, okay? There's going to be a number, and I don't know what it is, but if there's not that number there each week, then we're just going to do the year-long series on Leviticus, verse by verse, preaching it verse by verse, and then we'll see who the real followers are. But today I thought what we would do is we would get a book that is probably least popular of all the books of the Bible, and that's what we would use to kind of show you how bad it could be, right? So we're going to look at the book of Numbers. Now, honestly, how many of you have really read and studied the book of Numbers? Yeah, you've read it because, you know, but did you really read it or did you just skim it? Yeah, you just skimmed it. And for liberal arts majors, it's brutal because they have all these numbers and math and But there is one part I want to talk about. And I think Matt told you why we're doing this series. There's a connection between the benediction we do every week and the way I sign off on all my articles and letters and emails, the Breathe Peace. And we're going to look at that. So, you know, I always fail when I try to do pop culture. Zombies, Star Wars, Game of Thrones, all of that, you know. So I've pretty much given up. Except I want to go out on a limb today. I'm going to guess that everyone in here has either seen, heard of Star Trek, one of the Star Treks, right? Has anyone not heard of? Oh, you've heard of. That's what I mean. I broaden the pool here. Even if you ever heard the word Star Trek, you're in, right? Okay, good. Now, I'm also going on a little further out on the limb, and I'm going to believe that all of us in here have at least heard of Mr. Spock. Not Dr. Spock, Mr. Spock, right? And we know maybe that Mr. Spock was a Vulcan. Good job. And we might recognize the Vulcan sign, which is this, right? Right? I can't do it. Who can do it? I can't do it.
The boys can.
Can you? Yes, yeah, show off. Did he give you permission to do that?
Yes.
Okay. So, but have you ever seen Star Trek? The real Star Trek. Not the real Star Trek. Okay, good job. I love you guys. Okay, so, but everybody, we know what that is, but do you know where it comes from? Okay. Leonard Nimoy grew up an Orthodox Jew, going to synagogue every Friday, every Sabbath day with his dad. It's what they did. And once a year, there's this ritual in the Orthodox Jewish synagogue that they do. And it's led by what's called Kohen, which are the descendants of Aaron. Aaron was the first priest and the brother of Moses. You need to remember that. And so the rule was, when they did this ritual, everyone in the congregation had to cover their eyes, their faces, with their prayer shawl. Because what the Jews believed is that it was such a holy thing what was happening, that if they looked at it, it would be a sin. It was too holy for them to even look upon. So Nimoy was a boy, and he was moved by this. And so he would peek out from his dad's prayer shawl, and he would see the priest raise their hands with that sign that I can't do. And he would hear these words: may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And he was so moved by that when he was cast for the role of Spock, the Vulcan. The original way they were supposed to greet one another was to put their hands on one another's shoulders. Well, Spock said, well, that's just goofy. Vulcans aren't touchy-feely. So he said, let me do this as a greeting. And then he took his understanding of the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And he put it in a short form. Live long and prosper. That's where it comes from. Because this is a powerful benediction. This is a blessing. In fact, when you start understanding the blessing and how powerful it is, the benediction that we do will take on a whole new meaning. I got to give you a little history, and I know you guys can't stand that, but I got to do it because you got to understand this. Okay, first off, the original benediction is in Hebrew. And if you ever heard it in Hebrew, it's absolutely beautiful. And you have to remember that when Scripture was written, there weren't chapters and numbers. That was put in much later. So it wasn't chapter 6, verse 24, chapter 6, verse 25. But the Hebrew writer put this in such a phrasing that there were three very distinct lines. And the first line was made up of three Hebrew words, what we call verse 24. Verse 25 was made up of five Hebrew words. Verse 26 was made up of seven Hebrew words, with the final word being the seventh word. Now, they could have done it in six, but the Hebrew I wanted seven. Because seven in the biblical numbers understanding is the perfect number. It is the complete fullness, wholeness of God. And it is holy. Then you got to understand what was going on in the life of the people. People had recently disobeyed God in a big time way. Remember, Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, and who was in charge when Moses was on the mountain? Aaron, Moses' brother. And under his leadership, the people really messed up. They made a golden calf and they worshiped it. And God lost his mind and was just mad. And in order to punish them, he said, you know that trip that was only supposed to take a little bit of time? I'm going to keep you in the wilderness, because in the wilderness, I'm going to mold you and shape you to be the type of person I want you to be. So right after that happened, right, this benediction, this blessing was given, right? Now, here's the thing. This is the most important blessing in the Bible. This is the one. This is major. I want you to look at verse 22, chapter 6, because this is how it begins. This is a part we don't read. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the Israelites, you should say to them. Now, did anybody catch that? Who was this blessing? Who was the one giving this blessing? Aaron, the one who had just led the major mistake of the Israel people, the one who had just messed up bigger than life. And yet God said, Aaron, you're the one that's going to give my greatest blessing to the people I have called and the people I have chosen. Because in that, we see the very heart of God. It's why every service, at the end of every service I do, after the benediction, I remind you that there is nothing you can do that can ever make God love you less, because that's the message God was saying to Aaron. Aaron, there's nothing you can do. I know you messed up. I know that you led the people astray, but that's not good. I still love you, and I still use you. I'm still needing you, and you're going to be the one that offers this blessing to the people so that they understand that there's nothing they can do that's ever going to make me love them less, and that's what this means. So then we go to verse 24, the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Now, we have messed up the word bless. Someone sneezes, we say bless you. Someone asks how you're doing, I'm blessed. Someone says on their voicemail, have a blessed day. None of that was an understanding in the Hebrew world. They would look at that as being almost sacrilegious, because the blessing was such a real and personal and powerful thing. Because it was a reminder that God was with them. Right? If you sat through my Lenten study last year on the Beatitudes, then you understand when Jesus was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount and he said, blessed are you, right? I know some translations say, happy are you. That is so bad. Because the idea of the blessing is to remind a group of people that God is on your side, that there is nothing you can do, that God is with you. And that's how this thing began. May the Lord bless you. May you remember that God is with you. That's why we end the service with that. So that when you leave this place and go out there, you will be reminded that God is with you. And God is pulling for you. And there's nothing you can do. Nothing that will ever make God love you less. I can't say that enough. It's what I am. It's what I believe. It's who I am. And then the next phrase. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. When you see the word face in Hebrew scripture describing God, you're talking about something holy. See, it was so holy that the Jews believed no one could actually see the face of God. In fact, Moses wanted to see it, and God said, you can't, man. I'm too holy for you. So Moses only saw God's backside. So when you see the face and God together, what you're talking about is the holy presence of God there with you. It's like a repeat of the first verse, right? May the Lord bless you. May you remember that God is on your side. And then the second one, and may he lift his face upon you. May God's presence in a holy and sacred way be with you. Now, these are people who just messed up. And then the third, and may God lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Countenance is just another word for face. So the people are reminded again that God is with them, that God is present, that God isn't abandoning them, that God hasn't left them. When God seems distant, the people need to remember that God is right there, and that's why we do it. But then you get to the seventh Hebrew word, the seventh word, the most full word, the complete word, the end game of this entire blessing is that last word, peace. Peace. They were offering peace. Now here's what we have to understand. In the Hebrew world, whenever you see the word you translated, It is very much you. It's an individual thing. Okay? To you. Now, grammatically speaking, you in English can either mean the whole group of you or just you, right? But in Hebrew, it's you. And what we do to say to solve that is in Texas, you guys say y'all, right? And I say you guys. And we understand what that means. But you is you. So what God is doing is he's saying you. I know this is a large group, but you. And you. This is for you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May you remember that God is on your side, that God is with you, that God is present. And may you feel his peace. Now remember, this is always given by the priest, the ordained, the clergy, the one. But see, we changed that here. We now have you say it with me, right? Because here's the reality. Whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you want to admit it or not, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a child of God, then you are a priest. I mean, that's what we were told in the Bible, that we are a kingdom of priests, the priesthood of all believers. You are a priest. So just like I offer the blessing as an ordained, you offer the blessing as a priest. And your responsibility is to give that same blessing that you receive back, not only in here, but out there. Peace. Now, what were some of the definitions of peace that we got? Anybody want to share? And a quiet falls over the ground. Silence, peace. Solace, peace.
Calm.
Anybody? Peace. Most people say absence of war, absence of conflict. Those are great definitions, but they're not the word. The seventh word of the benediction that Aaron gave to the people who had just messed up is, and may you have shalom. Now, shalom is interpreted and translated as peace, and that is wrong. The problem is there is no English word that adequately and accurately translates the word shalom. It doesn't exist. But it generally encompasses the wholeness, the completeness, the fullness of God. Shalom is the way God intended it to be from the very beginning of time. In fact, if you read the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, you will find four chapters that was shalom. Four. The first two and the last two is how God intended it to be from the very beginning of time. That's what he wanted. That's what he did. That's how he envisioned it. And the whole thing went, as my mom would say, to hell in a handbasket. But that's what we wish. Wholeness and completeness. And it is your responsibility and my responsibility to offer that blessing, to remind people that when you leave this place, God is with you, and you have wholeness and completeness, and it talks about mercy and grace and justice and all those things, all wrapped up into this one word, shalom, that you, as priests, as lay people, as followers of God, as children of God, no matter what faith you are in, it is all about you and me offering that peace, that shalom, to a world that is dying to hear it. And it is there. Now, Jesus said it differently. He on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus looked over the people, remember this? And he said, blessed are you, peacemakers, for you should be called a child of God, right? The word he uses for peacemaker is found nowhere else in all of Scripture except right there. And the root word of that is, guess what? Shalom. And so what Jesus is really saying, blessed are you, whole makers, complete makers, shalom makers, For you shall be called a child of God, because that's what you are. You are a peacemaker, a shalom maker, a whole maker, as a follower of God, as a child of God. That's what you are. And it matters. It matters. And here's any Hebrew mind, first century, would have known. Blessed are the peacemakers. Always requires action. See, you can't be a peacemaker if you're waiting for wholeness to come to you. A peacemaker finds the brokenness, and they go into the brokenness, and they bring wholeness, and they bring hope, and they bring peace, and they bring justice, and they bring grace, and they bring mercy, because that's what we do. That's why I remind you every week, you are a peacemaker. You are to offer the peace, the shalom, and go into the world and do something. You are the one that sets the temperature of how it ought to be through you. The way you make wholeness, the way you complete, the way you offer shalom, people will either know and taste the love and grace of God, or they'll turn their back and say, if that's God, I don't want anything with it. And you can do that because there's nothing you've done that ever make God love you less, because he trusts you to do that. If you want to know what that looks like, by the way, just look at the life of Jesus. It means loving your enemies. It means praying for those who persecute you. It means going that second mile when you're asked. It means loving the least and the last and the lost and the littlest. It means reaching out to someone who is broken and offer them wholeness. Someone who is full of despair and offering them hope. Someone who have sinned and offer them grace and offering them mercy. That's what it means. That's why we do that every week. Because that's how Jesus lived. He breathed peace on everyone he came in contact with. He breathed peace on the disciples, on Mary, on Martha, on Lazarus, on Zacchaeus, on the thief on the cross. And he breathed peace on you and on me. And we are called to breathe peace to one another. That's the reminder. Peace. Shalom. Peace. The same word that the angels used when they announced the birth of Jesus. Peace. The same word that Jesus used when he gathered his disciples on that Thursday night before he was to be crucified. And what did he say? My peace I give to you. Peace. Same word that Jesus used after the resurrection. When he found the disciples locked in a room and he said, peace be with you. Peace. The same word that is a promise that there's nothing you can do to ever make God love you less. Peace. The same word that is such a precious gift that God gives that it ought to be engraved on our souls, memorized. We ought to wear it. We all breathe it. When we breathe in, we breathe peace. When we breathe out, we breathe peace. Because without that peace, without the shalom, without that wholeness, life's going to beat us up. Divorce is going to win. Cancer is going to win. Brokenness is going to win. But with the peace, with the shalom, with the wholeness, when we breathe peace, we understand that God has the last word. And the last word is, no matter what you're going through, God wins. And the Lord will bless us and keep us. just breathe peace. Because at the end of the day, nothing else matters. Breathe peace. And now may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember that there is nothing you can do. Nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you are nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day would be like if you lived it breathing that in? With every breath that you take, he reminded yourself that I am the best of the best of the best, and God loves me. And then can you imagine what it would be like if today everyone you met, you breathe that peace right back on them. You'd have a heck of a day. But more importantly, that other person, you change your life. Breathe peace.